Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Everybody, welcome back to The Real Down. I'm your host, Jimmy Skinner, and I know I sound different because I'm sick as hell, but with me as always, Mr. Garrett Johnson, the Tennessee Hammer himself. What's going on?
Yeah, all right, what's going on? It's Garrett here. Not the Tennessee Hammer, I'm just
he's Tennessee lying
fisherman, I guess. I don't know.
He's modest. What's going on, dude? Tell me about the fucking donkey Smalley that you got on this weekend.
Did a little nice little river float with my buddy Will this weekend and got us some good Smalleys on the river. It was fun.
I'm jealous.
Pretty relaxing. Looked like we had a lot better weather than you guys just down south did. It was like
for real
sunny and nice out, not breezy or anything.
Yeah, we were talking about it before the show, man. His pictures popped up this weekend and they had like pretty skies and sunny and good river weather. And yeah. I took a couple boys out this weekend that had never been, well, they've been kayak fishing a couple of times, but I took them out to kind of show them some areas and try to get them on some fish. And it was blowing 20, it was like 40 degrees and it was it was so bad. And then it started raining and that's why I sound like this. So I'm sick. I've got a ridiculous sinus infection and a bunch of chest congestion and I feel like ass. So I'm going to be here just briefly to bring you in, congratulate these boys that we've got on for the show tonight from the Georgia Bass Nation Lake Seminole event. And I'm going to let Garrett take it away. So yeah. Garrett's going to be your host, the hostest and
captain of the ship tonight. Hopefully he don't crash it.
I mean, if you do, just sink the bitch to the bottom.
You're like, all right.
Just if you're going down, I want you to go all the way down. Just leave it at the bottom. But without further ado, we've got returning guests. Both of them, actually. We've had Tom Kazmierski and Josh Counts. Tom, I know we had you on with Riser talking about Del Hollow. Josh, we had you on with Broach a couple of years ago. So welcome back to the show, boys, and congratulations on y'all's weekends.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it looked like you guys had a good time down there.
I'm glad somebody did. Seminole's usually a sore subject when we have it on here. So
me too.
You saw smiles on.
I enjoy it. So
hey, I'm glad somebody does. I haven't got to go down there yet, so I don't have any personal experience. It's just from hearing from my previous co-host, Dan Perry. I know it's had his number a few times, which no hate there because I've got plenty of bodies of water that got my number.
Yeah.
But for you guys, welcome back again. But for anybody that hasn't heard about y'all or had y'all on recently. Tell us a little about yourselves. Josh, if you want to start.
I live in just outside of Tallahassee, Florida. I've been kayak fishing since I moved here in 2015. I bought a kayak not long after I moved here. I moved here from Tennessee. But I grew up in outside of Nashville. Oh. And I lived there my whole life. So, yeah. I think, Garrett, you live there, don't you? Don't you live yeah. nearby, or are you from there?
Yeah, just, I'm from the other west side. Nashville. So yeah, 3 weeks in a row.
I'm from Mount Juliet on the other side. So, yeah. But I know it. So.
That's
yeah,
awesome.
So, yeah,
I mean, I am from Nashville at this point. I stay there more than I stay here, really. It's kind of weird. As much as I hate Tennessee, I just can't seem to get away from Nashville.
Well, you know what? I'm happy to, you know, I miss it until I go home, and then I'm home for a day or two, and really the only thing I miss is, like, my family and my friends, but I don't miss Mount Juliet or Nashville at all.
Yeah, it's changed
a lot. I would say you'd miss the fishing, but, definitely. I mean, you live in Florida.
Fishing in Florida is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a trade-off. You know, the deer hunting is not quite as good. It's not as, not near as good, but the fishing is great. So, you know, you trade things. So
I would say, and I mean, I haven't fished Florida, but like just some experiences in Florida. I'm sure the like the buck difference is there, but my few trips to Florida, there are freaking doe everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Everywhere in Florida.
Like there's lot, good, there's meat everywhere, but just no trophy stuff.
I know. I mean, I'm a meat hunter. I don't need the trophies.
Yeah, you'll see some good deer around and stuff, but you know, the fishing makes up for it.
Hell yeah! Well, Tom, let everybody know who you are. Del Hollow Hammer, the only person to challenge Adam Reiser on Del Hollow.
Y'all keep saying that, you're gonna jinx me. I'm born, raised Kennesaw, Georgia. So I'm one of the rare people in Georgia that are actually from Georgia these days.
Amen.
Not a transplant.
Yeah. I've been in kayaks for probably 3 years now, I think. So I think this is my third year going into kayak fishing. So still learning it a little bit. I do enjoy it. I think it's the people, the camaraderie, everything in kayak fishing is a lot more fun than where I came from.
Amen.
Houseboat fishing. That's kind of what I fish for, is to be around good people and have fun. I obviously, you know, there's very few people making a living at this. I'm really in it for the, you know, the friendship and the fellowship and, you know, getting to set the hook on some bass. I feel like you see a lot more, you know, with the slowdown of the kayak. You're not running 70 miles an hour anywhere. So, you know, you see a lot more wildlife. You see, I mean, I love it. It's a lot of fun to me. So, different world. It's I have mad respect for the guys that have been doing it for a long time. Especially the guys that paddle. I wouldn't do that. Couldn't do that.
Man, it's crazy you say that. It's that one of the guys I mentioned earlier that I was taking out. It's crazy. I've only been in kayak in like 5 years, but I've been in long enough to bring guys in 5 years ago and paddling was like normal. Yeah. To bring guys in now and 14 seconds into it, they're like, I need a motor. I'm like, no, you don't. Like,
yes, you do.
No, you don't need a motor. I don't have a motor. I think I'm the only person that fishes the Bass Nation that doesn't have a motor.
Hey. That's even more impressive. Yeah.
And you also won, so maybe there's a correlation there.
Yeah.
I guess it's not needed. It's just much more comfortable on my knees and arms at the end of the day.
See, that's what I agree with.
I have a Theragun Pro. I have one of those. I don't have a motor. So that's what I use instead of a motor when I get home.
Work the muscles.
Yeah, exactly.
I feel that.
There you go.
I can't hardly go downstairs for the first day after a kayak tournament. Like, I got to go downstairs and my knees are wobbly. I'm like, ooh, what is this? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got it. Getting old sucks. I don't want to get off on that tangent, but Jesus, it blows. Well, all
right. The old guys that told us that are right.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about like Seminole. So before I get out of here and like Garrett captain the ship straight into the fucking beach, I'm going to leave it with, I want one of you boys to give us a very thorough description of Lake Seminole, how the lake sets up, the cover, the water, just the ins and outs of Lake Seminole, like what it is. We haven't had a good description of a lake lately, so I'm counting on one of you guys to give me a good description. But as you say that, I'm going to fade out because, again, I'm sick. I'm going to go dope up my medicine. Love you guys. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on.
Thank you.
I promise you I'll be here next time.
Good having you.
Good
riddance.
Okay. Peace. Take it away.
Tom, your description. That's a hard question.
It is. It, you know, I think it sets up for every angler because at least in kayak fishing, you've got, you know, great rivers to fish. You've got tons of different structure to fish. With that being said, because I know a lot of guys are like, what? But you know, the structure there's, it's different than a lot of lakes. It's tougher to hone in on the hard bottoms, which is technically, you know, springtime. You're focusing on those type of areas. I think history plays a lot into, you know, or time on the water, which in every aspect of fishing plays in huge. But I've got a lot of time there, not necessarily productive, but you know, you take those licks and learn from them and start putting together things. But I think it sets up well. You know, I guess the ramps, a lot of the ramps are either back tucked away, you know, to get away from the crowd, you got to travel a little bit. So, I mean, in this event, we had motors, so a little different, but definitely in a Hobie, it's tough. You know, you got to move, you got to get out, cover some water. I've fished two Hobies there and, you know, pedaling 7, 8, 9 miles a day, you know, try to get away from, and the wind on Seminole is no joke. Depending on which way it's coming from. I mean, Saturday we got a good dosing of, wind right and rain.
Like right in the crosshairs of the Gulf Stream there.
Yeah, it was, I mean, it was tough on me. You know, I guess, you know, from a kayak standpoint, because I fished it from a boat a lot, you know, in a kayak, it's really hard finding a group of fish in a small area that you can...
That you can access.
Yeah, that you can access, be a, you know, if one hole's not producing, you can move quickly and get on the next hole, because they do seem to move. The fish there, at least the main lake fish, or the main bodies of water, not back up in the backwaters, but those fish move a lot. They can be there one day, gone the next. They can literally be there 1 hour and gone the next. You know, so, like, they move a lot.
Is that current related in some areas, or is,
you know, I think it's probably forage. It may be current. It may be just how they feel that day. You know, I've seen the shad stay and the fish leave, you know, but they've got tons of food sources. You know, you got needlefish, you got tilapia, you got obviously the brim and all that. And then you got, you know, your shad species there.
Wow.
So, you know, that's the toughest part of the lake to me, but it's got, I mean, it just sets up to, you know, it's one of those lakes, I hate to say this because I've said it a lot of times on a lot of different lakes, but, you know, whatever your strength is, go find that type of water and fish to your strengths is really the best way to break it down to me.
Yeah.
You know, in the Hobie a couple of years ago, when Jake Arsham won it, he was staying there with Jamie and all of us, and so did I.
Not choke.
Yeah, I had one too. So, you know, he basically, it's one of those, like, so I'll hand you the best or worst day of your life. But he came into the campground. And he's like, man, I hadn't caught a fish in 3 days. And I'm like, dude, you're from Pennsylvania. You fish rivers, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, why are you out here on the main lake? Why don't you get your butt up the river? He's like, there's not any good fish up that river. And I'm like, there's tons of money went up that river. There's shoal bass. He's like, I've never caught one of those. I'm going there. And of course, he didn't catch any shoalies. He caught all largemouth. Yeah. But yeah, and he caught giants. Yeah, I was like, dude, you know, fish what you're comfortable with. You don't think you got to get out here on the grass or the sand or whatever, you know, whatever. I can't remember that year. I think the fish were definitely backed off more than this year. But that's the other beauty of Seminole is you could literally go there, you know, the same weekend of February, 5 years in a row. And
it's different every time.
Yeah. They could be in the timber. They could be in a full spawn. They could be, you know, pulling up to spawn. You know, there's so many variables. I really think history and time on the water just is your best friend there. But I love the lake, and it's handed me my tail many times. But I do love the lake. When you get on them, they're big, they're fun. You know, it's got some giants. I mean, I don't know anywhere else.
It's a great kayak lake, really.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot. I would have to agree because you.
I'm Alex Rodriguez,
and I'm Jason Kelly
from Bloomberg. This is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Yeah. I mean, it really is. There's a lot of backwaters and stuff like that. And, you know, this time of year, it's probably not the best place to be. But, I mean, even some of those places now are already warming up because there's springs in the back of them. They're probably on bed in some of the places about, like, you know, Chimney Island and stuff like that. They may be on bed already back there.
Yeah. So
it's just I found tons of fish on bed, just not ones that I felt like would do the tournament justice. So, in the backwaters. So, they're... You know,
it's crazy to hear about.
I think, I mean, Josh, I don't know what you were seeing, but, you know, I'll say the Spring Creek arm, and I jumped probably 4 or 5 ramps in practice. I was seeing anywhere from 63, which it started dropping as we came into the weekend. But I think Thursday I was seeing 66 and some of the, like, back in the Cypress Ponds.
Wow.
And I was hoping to see some of the right fish pulled up in there, but there were tons of fish pulled up. I think the big females were still kind of holding off. You know, definitely we weren't in the right moon phase.
You guys were on the tail end of the full moon, right? Like
a week or so. I think, I mean, if the weather stabilizes, you know, whoever's getting to go down there in these next, you know, the new moon and the full moon, that'll be.
It'd probably be pretty great tomorrow. I'm at work, so
I'm not driving. All
right, everybody, just load up right now. Let's go.
I mean,
let's
it was nice. It's beautiful the last 2 days. I mean, 70 yesterday, like 73 or 74 today. It's gonna be good. You know, sun's
they're
out,
gonna be munching.
You know, and the water's kind of dirty, so they're gonna be going crazy.
Yeah.
So it'd be good stuff. I guess this is a good time to transition. So you started talking about practice. Did both of you guys practice for this event, or?
I did not.
Kind of show.
No, I just showed up.
That's
I
had the way to work,
man. Just, like, I fished the lake about 4 weeks ago. So three weeks ago, Florida Bass Nation fished Seminole. That I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. So I fished that, but the weather has been pretty unstable. You know, every weekend it rains. It rains cold front every weekend.
I don't know why it's like the nature just times the cold fronts perfectly with the weekend.
Monday through Friday, beautiful. Friday night, rain. And then cold front all weekend.
The beauty is, I think, you know, and Josh, I was watching you on that show last night. I think you said it best, you know, that we had such a great week of weather leading up to this event. That I know it hit people's fish in the head.
It did.
Some of them. But I do feel like the fish, you know, we were still before the front.
Yeah.
And obviously the bigs were still eating that. I mean, you look at all the big fish that were caught in this event, you know, from all, you know, multiple anglers, seven anglers, I think, had over 20s.
Yeah.
Like 20.
Yeah, they were eating. It was a lot of,
yeah.
So they were still eating. It was a, you know, maybe some guys walked into it in the practice and got bit shallow, which shallow is relative, but they were literally, you know, like I think Thursday I saw you could go down any bank of pads and throw a speed worm and catch really good fish, you know, 17s to 18s and catch a 20, you know, luck up on a 5 pounder or a 6 pounder. But I think those fish, you know, from what I heard of the talk at the at the meetup, I think a lot of those fish kind of got hit. I think the guys that were maybe one step back from that focusing on fish had maybe better results.
A little better hardy to the weather, I guess. Like
something. Kind of advanced, and they haven't moved as far up, and they're not as effective as much, seems like.
So. Yeah.
Agreed.
And that's one of the reasons I was off. I worked nights last week, so I was off a couple of days, but I didn't, I was, you know, I was tired, but still I was like, I could go up there and fish for a couple of hours, but it's going to change so much. And I think it just hurt me more than it helped me. So I just didn't go.
Sometimes that's the best approach is just kind of have an open mind when you go into it and just,
let the
day develop as it,
I thought I could catch them the way I did. And if I didn't, I had a backup plan. I was just going to go shallower. So, you know, I was going to go up a creek and go further back a creek. Cause you know,
they gotta be somewhere in there.
It's further up this time of year. They're going to go where they want to go. They don't usually go out of the creek. They just stay there and won't bite. So, you know, they're going to,
that was my same thing. Yeah, I said these fish are going to the bank. They're not turning around.
Yeah, they don't want to stop.
And there's waves of them coming up. So you know, look for places that replenish. And I mean, that's how I focused on the lake after I went and did my little hiatus in backwater looking for some sight fish.
I try to always focus on that, you know, be where the fish want to go, not where they've been, because, you know, it's going to bite you usually. Most of the time it will. I mean, sometimes it won't, but, you know.
Well, sometimes it's all you can find, too. So.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been there.
Yeah. Sometimes you can't find anything, so.
Yeah. Wing and a prayer. I got to pray they stay.
Hey, it's just me and you now.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
I guess he dropped off. Uh-oh. He's going to get fired on his first day.
Are you fishing the Hobie at Harrisdale?
No, I am not. I have life and work and everything else. I work at nights too. And I drove home from Mobile and Jamie was on my tail basically saying, guys trip, come on, you got to go. And I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can make it, dude. And got the kitchen pass. And so I drove down Thursday morning, fished a half a day. And then saw enough to know I needed to get out of there.
I don't know what happened.
Yeah, I don't know. We just kept going. So
we said you're probably going to get you just got a ding for your first time running it and you fall off. That's not good, man.
Yeah, I don't know what just happened there. Just internet just crashed or what. Well, all right. Man, hopefully we can rebound here.
I'm lucky. The last time I was on here, I had to go all the way to, you know, Crawfordville, which is like 30 miles away, to my office to use the internet because I live out in the middle of nowhere. We had Usenet then, but now we've got Starlink and I can do this at home and it's the greatest thing ever.
Oh, that's awesome.
That is good.
Yeah,
I just switched to like a Verizon internet and I'm still trying it out, and I guess it failed me tonight. So
yeah, we don't have that option here. So
So you guys were just talking about practice and wrapping that up. You guys want to start talking about how your day went the day of the event, and kind of see how that went.
Yeah. Josh.
Well,
you had the better day.
I started off. I fished in Florida, like on the Florida side of the lake. I usually do. It's kind of closer to my house. And so I kind of usually focus over there. There's a lot of good stuff, and it really doesn't get fished as much as a lot of the rest of the lake. A lot of the boat guys, especially from Georgia, they don't come this way a lot of times, you know, to this side of the lake. So yeah. I fished down there. And, you know, I put in that morning, and there was three other people at the ramp. I figured there would be more than that. I was kind of surprised that there was only three people at that ramp. And all three of them turned, went back under the bridge, back up into the creek, and I turned and went out to the main lake. And then, you know, there was hardly anyone out there. You know, there's a couple of bass boats, but they weren't even close to me. You know,
just, that's a good feeling.
Yeah, you know. And I fished that area before, and I've never really had a lot of people right on top of me. There's such a the spot I was fishing is like a huge flat leading into a creek, and there's a lot of area out there to cover. So, you know, I've never had anybody really on top of me out there anywhere close by. You know, people come through and stuff, but they don't really. I don't know, for whatever reason, it's just big enough that that people can fish it.
Yeah. So how does that area kind of set up? I mean, you don't have to say exactly where you're at or anything, but like how does it kind of set up? Like what kind of vegetation or structure are you fishing to?
It's basically like a mile long and mile wide or half mile wide sand. Just it's kind of off the end of an island. It's a big point. There's a big flat.
Yeah.
And pads, but the pads are all dead, so it's just pad stems. So, you know, and it's just a big open area, but it's got, you know, it's got uneven features in it and kind of points in the grass and stuff like that, and they're still there.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I think that most of my fish came really off of one spot, but I think that was more than anything. I think it was kind of like in between the shallowest parts, or maybe just the grass was a little bit clearer. It wasn't really easy to decipher what exactly was different about that area. They were just, that's where they were. So
they were just kind of stacked up in there.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was just, you know, you couldn't sit on. The first time I went by, I caught three, but, I caught three and I lost one. And then I left it and I didn't go far, but I went a little further to another little spot and I didn't catch any, but I just kind of kept moving around. I'd catch one here and there. And then I went back over there and caught another one. You know, it was just, you couldn't sit on top of them all day. I guess you probably could. I don't have the patience to do that, but
you know,
I dropped the power pole and I sat there for about an hour when I caught the first ones. And then I was like, I got to move around. Because like Tom said, the fish move, you know, from hour to hour. They can move so quickly, you know. I've seen fish before in other places. Like I followed a school of fish one time, and they moved like 2 miles in about 15 minutes. And they just were cruising. Just cruising. I was in my bass boat, but I just stayed with them the whole time. And every now and then I would catch one. So you don't about it, but fish can cover some ground in no time.
I mean, I guess they got nothing else to do. They just... they're just looking for food.
They're literally looking for the best food source.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. So what kind of stuff were you catching them on? Was it pretty much the same deal all day long or kind of through?
I would cycle through. I kind of threw, I caught most of, I caught all of the fish I weighed in, checked in, whatever. I caught all of those on a jackhammer. Green pumpkin shad jackhammer with a diesel minnow trailer.
Not surprising.
That's probably my go-to right there. I mean, I buy that. That's my favorite color, and you know, I use that one more than anything. If I want a lighter color, I put a white trailer on.
I think I remember seeing like a post that Jordan Marshall put up or something, and he had three rods hanging off the front of his kayak with three different jackhammers on it.
Yeah,
he did. I was around him.
I threw a lipless crankbait a little bit too, older model, Excalibur XR50. I mean, it's not made anymore, but you know, a lot of people got that you know, they're in their head, that it's, you know, it's good because it's not made anymore. The booyah is the same thing. But, but I've got some, so I got to throw them because it's in my head too. So, So I caught one or two fish on it. I don't, but they just didn't seem to want to bite it like they did the last time I was there. Last time I was there, I caught all the fish on it. So, you know, it's just, you know, for whatever reason, I don't know why, but, you know, I would just kind of throw a jackhammer up there and kind of slow it back and roll it back over top of the grass.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was going to get ready to ask you next. So a lot of people fish jackhammers differently, I guess. So
yeah.
Were you just kind of rolling it slowly across the top or like burning it across the top or?
No, I just slowly fishing it back. I mean, I didn't move it fast, but you know, that, and that may be why they weren't after the lipless crankbait, because I burn, you know, I burn the hell out of it when I throw one of them. I throw it as fast as I can. So
yeah.
But you know, so it's just one of those days. But I, you know, I threw a spinner bait some too, and I got a lot of faith in a spinner bait. I throw it and roll it back across the grass too, and I can usually catch one, but I threw it some. You know, I kind of cycled through those things, and you know, that seemed like the jackhammer was the only deal. So in like the last half of the day, I probably, that's all I threw. So
you know, sounds like if you're not throwing a jackhammer in Florida in February, then you're,
and it's hard to beat. It is a hard bait to beat. And you'd think that at some point in time, they're going to get tired of it, but.
Yeah, I was
I'm waiting for that day.
Yeah.
I'm praying for that day.
Yeah. I wish they would, so like, you know, really get on something that's a lot cheaper. That would be nice.
Yeah. they know how much those cost.
Yeah, exactly.
They'll only eat the expensive stuff.
That's fact.
So, Tom, tell me a little bit about how you're catching them then. Were you doing kind of something similar, or do you have a little different game plan?
No, I was doing what it sounds like, very similar. The area I was in, I think the locals call it the middle ground. But I was out there. I know where a lot of the stuff is out there. It looks like just a vast nothing of islands, but
yeah,
there's kind of the same thing he's talking about, maybe not quite as big, but there's tapering things that come off some of those islands. Then there's some stuff that's just there. I don't know how it got there.
Yeah.
And you got depressions, which is, you know, anybody that fishes Seminole much will talk about the depressions. They're probably one of the tougher things to have the fish stay in, because I think they visit them and then they leave.
Little pit stops that they stop in.
Yeah, they really seem like almost like a resting point. I guess they lock up in them at some point, but you know, they're tough. And the other thing, you know, you get two or three bites, and then you got to come back to it. You know, if you're lucky, you know, sometimes you can hit five impressions without a bite, and then all of a sudden you hit one, and it's your rod's bowed up every cast. You know, it's weird. But yeah. I was fishing shallower. My big fish came on a jackhammer. I felt like there was a good jackhammer bite earlier, so I really focused on it for the first 2.5 hours, and then I went shallow for about an hour and got a limit real quick, just to not be the guy without a limit again. But then I came right back out, and I was throwing the jackhammer, and I was throwing a speedworm a lot. I was throwing it on a heavier weight. I felt the same thing Josh was, is and in my head, whether it was right or wrong, but the water temperature literally went from, you know, mid 60s down to like 60 to 59, even. And you got over towards the Flint side, it even got down around 57, 56, which
that's,
I felt like,
yeah, was, that's a big drop.
Yeah. You know, in Florida strain largemouth, that's usually like death.
I'm surprised you guys caught some fish in, even.
Yeah. Well, you know, there,
if it'd been Sunday, we probably wouldn't have.
Yeah. I agree. Sunday would have been a really tough day. But they, you know, I was basically just slowly reeling that speed worm across these, what I call the sand flats, where I know sand is. And, you know, typically it's not a way to catch a big down there usually. I mean, there's times, don't get me wrong, and speed worms produce, but I was literally just going for some 18 inchers to try to have a decent showing because I had that 22 and a half out the gate. But I started catching a 19 on a speed worm, and I was like, all right, they're out here. I just got to slow down. But unfortunately, I feel like the wind was coming, like, I don't know what direction. I would say east, but it was coming out of the east. But it was blowing down Spring Creek from Big Jim's, like white capping. And I couldn't sit on them. It's funny, Josh, talking about a power pole. I don't need a power pole, but man, I could have used one this week.
Yeah.
Because
there's some of those moments where you're like, dang.
Yeah, I couldn't stay on them. You know, if I caught a fish, like in the last 30 minutes, I think I caught like 3 17s. And the last time I saw the standings, I was like a quarter inch off, but I needed a 17 and a half to make a move. Yeah. And, but I couldn't tell. So obviously I take my time, get it on the board, try to measure it. And I would literally have to, you know, pedal almost like a half mile. Yeah. A quarter mile. Yeah. So I mean, it's a long ways, in white caps to get back up there. And then I would, you know, make two casts and catch another one. I'm like, damn it. You know, I wish I could just tell if this fish mattered or not so that I could stay here and keep working on them. But, I mean, that's what I did. I guess the difference in the area I was in, the boats, I mean, that's where they go.
Yeah,
there's a lot of boats up there. It's kind of it's just a circle. You know, if you leave one to go to the next one, somebody's pulling right in behind you.
Merry-go-round, that's what I call it.
Yeah, and it makes for
following each other.
It makes for some tough decisions because they're all good.
Yeah.
And I would say there's probably fish on all of them. There's bigs on all of them. There's tons of big fish, you know, probably everywhere on that lake. But, you know, so it's tough. Like you sometimes you stay a little too long. Cause where I caught that 22 was a small depression right off one of those sand flats. And I sat there for 2 hours making just fan casting, trying to find another one of those. Cause I felt confident I could get a limit. I just knew, I was hearing rumors of 110 inches and I'm like, what?
I didn't look at the boards because I was scared that's what it was going to look like. I don't look at the standing.
That's probably a smart move. I can't help myself, man. I'm like, am I doing okay? And then I looked at it, you know, and I really didn't feel like I was making up any ground, but I was like, oh, I'm in fourth. Ooh, I'm in third. Oh, wow. How did I get here? You know, I didn't even really realize I had 96 inches, you know. And then I looked at, you know, Josh's thing, and it was like 96, 25. And I was like, oh, man, I got a chance, you know.
Yeah, I guess I must have looked around that same time. It's the only time I looked all day. It was probably like an hour and a half to go or something. Like, not long before we turned the boards off. I looked at it, and I was like, oh, I'm in the lead. And then I was like, oh, damn, Tom's only like a quarter inch behind me. So yeah, I was trying. He's going to have to earn this. So I put the hammer down there.
Make him work for it. Yeah.
Got a big one. So
I was sitting there and, you know, everybody was asking me at the end. They're like, man, did you call? And I'm like, no. I was like, man, it really stinks to lose by a quarter inch.
Yeah.
I was like, I at least wanted to tie him up and make it, you know, go down the line of our fish and see what happened or something.
Yeah.
And then I didn't know what he had. And they're like 99. I was like, oh man, that feels better. I don't
get sound on, like, and, you didn't get.
Yeah, I don't want to, you know. So
you said the quarter inch was worrying you, and I was like, after I saw it, I was like, this quarter inch is worrying me now. But I thought 20. 20.75, like, you know, 15 minutes after that. So, yeah, it made me feel a lot better.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, wow, that's huge. Yeah, and it's, you know, but I think that's, you know, the jackhammer there, you know, the guys I was staying with, we were kind of, I think we felt the jackhammer was the winning bait.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean,
in practice, what I had seen was, I had it in my head, whether it was, obviously it was wrong, but the bigger fish were, you know, going to get caught in those first 2 hours. But also know some of those fish, you know, that were over 20 came on speed worms and stuff like that. Fishing pad stems. And I was fishing pad stem areas too. It's basically, you know, the dead ones, where they haven't come up. That's the obvious. If you see those, that's like a red flag, go throw at them, you know, in that time of, but, then a lot of the other stuff I was fishing was stuff that doesn't have pad stems, but it sets up the same way. It's got that good hard bottom, scattered grass. If you were there when it was clear, I told some of the guys I was with, we were there for the championship back in November, and the lake was gin clear. And I went out there just to check that area, and I caught some fish. I never got on anything I felt like would win, so I was really just trying to catch enough to make it to the classic. But when I was out there, I marked a ton of stuff. I was like, ah, here's that, you know, here's these little holes of sand in the grass that everybody talks about in the spring that you can never see because, you know, you got a stain or something coming across there.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what we had. The stain from the Flint, actually, I think Friday started blowing over almost to the channel, Spring Creek. You know, the way the wind was blowing. So, but that's kind of what I saw. And then water temperature, I think, played a big thing. If my temperature got much below 59, like, I wasn't getting bit. And whether it was right or wrong, but I was catching fish like crazy. You know, not obviously 20 inches every cast or anything, but I was catching tons of fish. And if I got much below, if I saw it get into 58, and I fished some good stuff that's more on the Flint side where the cooler water was, I could not get bit on the speed worm. And there was a couple of kayakers and boats sitting on some of the stuff out there that I really felt like I could go throw a jackhammer on. And, you know, I was hoping those fish would maybe have just staged out in a little bit deeper water. But that was my day. Basically, I mean, the speed worm really, other than that 22, I caught every one of my fish on it.
Nice.
That's good.
You talked about being there. I'm sorry. You talked about being there in the fall. I don't think people realize how valuable being on the lake at different times of the year really is, because a lot of people only come to Seminole and fish it because most of the tournaments are in the early spring. But if you're out there in the late fall, that's what you see then is very valuable, because that grass will die back and be gone in the spring, but you know where it was and you know where it's not. And that's where the depressions are. And I don't think a lot of people really see the value in that, but there's a lot of value in it. You know,
I agree.
I guess it's kind of, I could equate that to going to like a Highland reservoir and at winter pool and seeing everything.
Absolutely. Yeah.
At lower levels and being able to go mark it.
Yeah, well, and, you know, Guntersville does the same thing. You know, and so does Chick. You know, in the spring, if you went, you go to Guntersville in the spring, you'd be like, where's the grass? Other than casting in it and hooking some. But, you know, you know, visibly, you're not going to see that grass. And same with Chick. I mean, you're not going to, you know, see the grass. And they have, I think they all have duckweed and milfoil and hydrilla, you know, and Seminole has every kind of grass known to man.
Oh yeah. Stuff I don't even know what it is.
You know, I hook some and I sent it to Jamie and I said, hey man, you're a biologist. Tell me what is this? I don't know. I was like, okay.
And you get like some kind of,
I said, whatever this is, it's good. That's what I can tell you.
Yeah.
So, but that's awesome. It's, I do think that, Yeah, Seminole is one of those lakes that I think if you saw it, I think it benefited me big time being there in the fall. Because it's like Josh said, I think you hear about Seminole from about December to March, and then you don't hear a single thing about it the rest of the year.
Yeah,
I mean, you're right.
I mean, a lot of the Florida lakes are like that, I guess.
They, yeah.
This really time of year, everybody's talking about them, and then come summertime, they're moved on to northern stuff, I guess. I mean,
well, and I was sad to go there because after November, I was like, oh man, here we go again, Seminole. But I will say that, you know, like Georgia clubs, you know, in kayak fishing and Georgia Bass Nation, it's really smart, even though, you know, we hit tough weather, but it's Georgia. I mean, give it, if you don't like the weather, give it 24 hours and they'll change for you. You know,
That's pretty much,
but I can tell you, I mean, but down there, you have a better chance of things stabilizing, things starting to happen to where the fish, you know, like I said, once they start going to the bank, they're not turning around and swimming back all the way out. Yeah. They're going to move slightly one way or another, and it's easier to find them, you know, other than the spotted bass fisheries. Obviously, spots are just
a whole nother animal.
I mean, they help a lot of the Georgia lakes, you know, produce in tough days. But, you know, if I was going to a primary, I mean, well, West Point's full of spots, but back in the day, you know, West Point used to be one of the lakes all of our clubs went to in March. And if you hit a 3-day warming trend, it'd be the most amazing trip you ever had fishing. You throw a rattle trap until your arm fell off and it wouldn't have paint on it. You know, it was so good. Yeah. It's a love hate, but I do like getting south and having some, you know, a chance at hitting a lake like Seminole correctly, or, you know, even though Josh puts up, you know, right at 100 inches and there was a bunch of over 90, that's impressive for the conditions that we had.
It really is.
I mean, for all the anglers there, that's just kind of a testament to what that rate can do.
You had 99 and a half inches. So how hard, like how much were you trying to get to that 100 inch mark?
I was trying really hard. Really, really hard. To the last second.
I would have started like squeezing all those fish and pushing them.
I didn't think you could win with less than 100. Tell you the truth, I didn't think I would be able to win with less than 100.
You managed to make it happen.
Yeah.
So then you had 96 inches, Tom. And from there, it kind of started dropping off a little bit to the 90s. And then.
Well, and I think, you know, I definitely think the area I was in, and there was tons of kayakers around me, tons of boats around me. You know, the wind howling down through there, I think it made it tough for guys to hold on some stuff. I think it forced, you know, maybe some guys got out of the wind to take a break.
Yeah.
I'm not that. I am the one that'll, I'll just fight it. I'm a little stubborn. I don't know any better. But it's funny. There was a pretty good boat tournament out of Big Jim's that day. Some of the known hammers of Seminole were there. And I'll tell you, you know, I used to be the glass boat guy, but looking at their weights, you know, it took 22 or 23 to win. And I mean, obviously
pretty comparable.
Yeah. Josh, I mean, I would have to say you had
21
right in that range, maybe. I would think.
Somewhere.
Yeah.
Around. Yeah. 21, 22.
And, you know, and I was like, but the crazy part is in that boat tournament, it went from 23 to like 12 pounds.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's a big drop off.
Right. And you look at all the guys in the kayaks out there, you know, the top 10, I would say all had 15 pounds or better. You know, anybody 89 inches and up. Because on Seminole, man, you can catch you can catch a 5-pounder there that's only 18 and a half, 19 inches.
Like, I mean, those fish, are thick, you know, fish too.
Yeah. They just, especially that time of year. Right. So, but, yeah, I thought it was pretty cool, you know, because I knew some of the guys on the boating side. We're going to pound them, and I'm like.
I mean, that's been happening a lot lately with the kayak stuff. Like,
Well, you know, sometimes picking an area, like, I mean, you know, it may not be what we want to do, but we're forced to manage your time. So you can't spend all day changing ramps, pedaling all over the place. Sometimes, you know, sitting out a place that's producing, and it, I mean, I know some great boat fishermen that used to talk about five bites, and I think 90% of kayak fishermen fish for five bites because it's kind of forced by the vessels we're in and everything else. Right.
I think when the fish are shallower like this area, kind of, it's not very deep and stuff like that. I think the boat itself affects a lot.
Oh yeah.
You got fish stacked up in a small depression like that, and you pull out, the wind blows them back up over the top of them. I think they'll move. I really think it does.
They got a lot bigger presence and a lot more vibration, I guess, in the water than that's.
Yeah, it's scaring them off. I would agree because, you know, well, and it's tough for, I mean, the guys that really know the lake there, I guess, in Glass can go to a lot of places. I think that's why a lot of guys stay away from Florida because of the horror stories of, you know, when you're trying to get in.
Yeah,
down there on that south. I've done it a bunch, and me and Jamie pit a few times that we weren't sure that the motor was going to crank afterwards. So back in the day, but you know, I think that kind of it creates a lot of places on that lake where the kayak fishermen can present a lure that maybe those fish haven't seen one in a long time.
Yeah,
you know, maybe never. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of backwater, skinny water, grass lake really gives, you know, sets up that way.
I feel like, too, like this, just this time of year is kind of more conducive for kayak fishing, too, because a lot of the times they're going to be grouped up in an area. And if you're in a kayak, you're going to kind of, if you find them in that area, you're going to stick with that area pretty much all day. Whereas, like, if you're in a bass boat, you might pick up and run somewhere else when they start biting and trying to find another area. But
We used to do it on Seminole. If we pulled into a depression and caught, you know, one fish, if you made five more casts and didn't get a bite, we were going to the next one. I mean, 70 miles an hour here, 70 miles an hour, you know, we would literally run 20, 30 depressions a day hoping to run into them.
Yeah.
Whereas in kayak world, you pick your little area and think I can cover this really well. There's, you know, they live there. And you're kind of forced to make the best of a situation. And I agree. I think it's to our advantage.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Well, we're kind of to the point where we're going to start wrapping up a little bit, but, you guys got any sponsors or anything you want to thank for your weekend or this event or loved ones or anything?
I'm a dugout guy. I grew up with them. I've known Jamie most of my life, I feel like. I love the dugout. Other than that, I don't have a lot of
I have Boondocks, and that's about it. But I love Jamie. I love Dugout too. He's treated me right. He's a good guy.
I like the hat.
All you guys are great. Steve's a great guy. Everybody.
Oh man.
But Boondocks.
Yeah, definitely.
Huge
thanks to Steve-O and them putting this stuff on and
creating
these opportunities.
He's a good job.
Yeah, he's such a good director, and everything he touches is a well-run event.
Yeah,
it's such a thankless job.
And Nick Dyer, Peach State does a great job too.
Yeah,
Nick's cool guy.
Does a great guy, but they do a lot of, you know, I fished with them when they come down here the last few years, and they're great guys in that too. So, you know, I'm planning. Hopefully, I'm going to fish more of those. You know, I'm going to work my way up Georgia a little bit more this year.
Yeah,
I know I'm going to go to Hartwell for sure. I like Hartwell; it's a lot of fun. So,
that's a good
man. That time of year, wow.
Yeah.
What a great place to be.
Yeah. So what do you guys got next for you? Are you going to keep fishing the Georgia Bass Nation Trail, trying to make – Tom, didn't you win AOI for them this past year or close to it?
I was leading AOI in the last tournament. I had to miss. I fish for fun, you know. I have a job that pays my bills. So, but I own a company, so I'm a little more. When duty calls, I go.
Yeah,
I gotta take care of a lot of mouths. But
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, I missed that one. But you know, I want to try to give it a run again.
Yeah,
you know, it's kind of a cool feather in your cap at the end of the day to say, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's, to me, the AOI is one of the biggest achievements. I've won it in quite a few boating events, and it's definitely not showing up and getting lucky. It's consistently, you know, it's hard. I mean, I don't know if everybody realizes, but it's one of the
hardest things to do in kayak or in fishing in general. It's just because you got to be consistent, and you got to be consistent in different places.
Yeah, different times of the year, different lakes. You know, it's a lot. You know, and there's so many great fishermen now. You know, even the young guys coming up. There's guys that any day of the week, you know, or, you know, there's 20 guys that fully think they're going to get first place that day. So it's,
it's a, and they're knowledgeable, right? And they pick up stuff so quickly, and they do.
YouTube is really helping out. Like,
I'll say, look at this, you know, where was this when I was a kid?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I had a magazine that was like printed 2 months ago, and I don't know that I've ever caught anything that they said to do in a magazine.
You know, it's funny. I mean, I don't do it now because there's so much information out there. But I used to, Bass used to give you a journal.
Yeah.
Every year you signed up.
Yeah.
But I have probably 20 years of journals of now it's from boating trails, and a lot of things have changed, but I mean, these lakes have changed, but I have probably close to 20 years of journals where I wrote down water temperatures, conditions, the winning pattern, what I was doing. And I go back and read them sometimes, and I'm like, man, I was an idiot. but there, it's funny. There's still some good information there. I was reading on it because Harville is not one that, I mean, it seems like it in the kayak world, it's becoming a thing, but in the boat world, definitely, I mean, we lived on Harville.
Legendary boat world.
Yes. I mean, if you didn't know how to fish Harville and you were fishing a major trail, you were, you know, I say major, but we had some big trails here in Georgia, like local stuff that, you know, gave away boats and stuff like that. I mean, as big as you could get without going pro. But it's I'm going to, are you going to Gunnersville, Josh?
Maybe. I don't know.
The Bassmaster on Gunnersville, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I'm going to go do that one.
I may.
I'll definitely be there for that.
Yeah. I'm probably not going to go to Caddo and with Hobie, but I'm kind of up and trying to make a decision about which one. One or other, you know, and I'll probably make a decision by this weekend. So I don't know. I'm going to Harris Chain. I'm going to go to Harris Chain. I mean, I was trying to, you know, like I'm like Tom, I have a job that pays the bills. I have to kind of not spread myself too thin.
Yeah.
And, you know, and this year and I kind of decided I was not going to go far, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's not so much that I get plenty of time off. I can take, but the problem is taking the time off, you know?
Yeah.
So, So, you know, like the state championship for Georgia Bass Nation last year, I qualified for it because I fished Eufaula. Had a good fish there. And I was going to fish it, but, and I signed up and everything. And then I had to work. It was like an emergency bridge repair and I had to be there and I could not take off. And that was it. I just had to, you know, I had to just watch y'all fish.
Yeah,
it's just the way it goes sometimes. So, but I mean,
so you're gonna be on the Harris Chain?
Yes, I'll be there.
Awesome.
That's this weekend, right?
Yeah.
What kind of drive is that for you? Like 3 hours?
About 4 hours. Yeah,
that's not
terrible. Too bad.
Yeah,
it's not. Are you gonna get to practice any for that one, or just
Thursday and Friday? Yeah, I get to practice Thursday and Friday.
I think that's plenty of.
I'm not a big practicer, like, though. I don't really love to practice a whole lot because I, you know, if I catch them and I'm, I catch them here and there, it'll mess me up. And I, I just don't like to practice. So,
I get that.
Yeah, I'll go around a lot of times here. The last like a year and a half, probably, I've kind of not even like on Friday, I usually don't even fish. I'll get on the water and just pedal around and look at stuff. And then, but I hardly ever cast, you know, I just, you know, I, in my mind, like every fish I catch during practice, one I can't catch on the weekend. So I don't know
that's if probably true.
Ready to go, but you know,
probably, yeah.
No, that's definitely true.
Well, that'll be fun. Good luck on that. I hope you do well.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Go down there and keep the streak going.
Yeah, that would be very nice. I mean, you know, I did fish on Sunday. The Florida Bass Nation fished on Sunday, which, you know, we're growing. It's growing. I hope, you know, this is the first year that they've done the Florida Bass Nation. I really hope it gets to be like Georgia. You know, Georgia's got a well-established nation. There's a lot of people, you know, like 60 people. Yeah. That's a lot, you know, for that.
I feel like it really – I think it really matters, like the support system that you that the Bass Nation gets for that state, at least. Like Tennessee's got a good one also. Tennessee and Georgia, but both of those Steve's been involved with, so that's not surprising.
It helps a lot doing those dual events. I've seen, you know, and I would have to think Florida would be able to grow a substantial trail down there.
Florida's a funny place. Like the Panhandle area where I live, it's kind of a funny place. You know, not as many people. There aren't as many people kayak bass fishing. There's a lot of inshore stuff. You know, sometimes it's hard to make the decision on what you want to do, if you want to go bass fishing or you want to go catch redfish. You know, you got the choice.
I guess
my family's from Carrabelle, so.
Oh really? Yeah, I live in Sopchoppies, right down the road. So.
I have fished out of Carrabelle since I was in diapers.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It'd be hard to bass fish when you got redfish that close by.
Yeah, I think that's a lot of people have to make that decision. Now down south, it's a little bit different. There's probably more people that bass fish down there. But I mean, not going to say that there's more. I mean, there's more relative to here. But
yeah.
So, but I think it'll turn out good. I think another year or two, and it's good. You know. They moved the Talcon tournament to Sunday because wanted to fish Seminole. And for me, it went terrible. I caught two fish, but one of the guys had 89 inches like that, and then it was like 85 and 80, and then it kind of went down there. But that was
really tough conditions.
It was, yeah. It was tough.
You guys had a big cold front that day.
Yes, right? And it was extremely windy that day.
Yeah.
The wind on Saturday was nothing like Sunday.
Yeah, I drove home Saturday night and I was getting blown all over the road. I was like,
yeah,
I was thinking about you guys going down there. I was like, man, I hope this stuff, I don't know if you want it to go through or stay because you definitely don't want to be on the backside of a front. But
yeah, it was very windy. I went to the first ramp where I was going to put in that morning and I looked at it and I was like, yeah, I'm not even putting in here. I was going to fish some points. And the wind was blowing on this side. I ended up driving all the way to the other side of the lake to put in just to kind of protect myself. And I knew some points over there that I could fish, but they weren't as good. So, but that's part of kayak fishing, you know? Part of the strategy, you know, you have the strategy. You got to make a decision. You got to make it work. So.
Yeah.
Got to make it happen. Yeah. Well, guys, I appreciate having you guys on. It was good talking with you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Hopefully I didn't. Crash the ship too hard tonight.
No, I think you did good. I mean, he might let you do it again. He might fake being sick next week.
Yeah. We'll see about that. Maybe I'll fake it next week and make him
do
it.
There you go. There you go.
There you go. Okay, well,
all right, guys. I'm going to start trying to close down the show here. So thanks for coming on. Gonna go through a couple things. So we got the Dale Hollow event coming up, April 22nd and 23rd, I believe, for the Paddle and Fin Open. So
You going to that, Tom?
Make sure anybody listening, make sure you signed up for that.
That would be, I mean, that's,
yeah, what that's a great that's place a good time to be of year in to April. Be on Del Hollow.
Yeah, that'll be us.
And Tom, I'm sure we'll have you back on or something, talk about that. Get excited for it. Hopefully you can make that trip happen.
It's one of my favorite lakes.
Yeah,
it's a good place. And then but definitely my biggest stringer of smallmouth has come in April.
Oh yeah.
From there.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I tell you, April on Del Hollow, the largemouth could definitely.
Yeah.
Man, there's some giants.
Yeah,
I think
that's what ended up winning it last year. But.
They're gonna show out.
Yeah, hopefully. I think the last year that it happened, we had like bright skies and bluebird skies, and that
tough on the smallies.
Yeah, it's hard on that lake to fish.
Yeah, they don't like that bright sun, man.
No,
they
I'd rather it be nasty out, but it's not as fun to fish in that.
Yeah, the smallies don't like the bright sunny days.
Yeah, I've heard different up north that like the smallies up there like the bright, clear days.
Yeah, I think it's a different. I think it's also how they fish for them. They're fishing for them up on the sandbars and stuff like that. So I think the visibility for the angler actually might play more to that than what the fish like. Because they're a lot of times when they're doing that, they're spawning, and guys are looking at them, picking them off. The cone,
floggers.
They stole the cone off the
flogger. That's what it's called, the flogger.
Well, I'll have my flogger out ready on Del Hollow.
That seems like a lot of work.
I'm just waiting for the day when somebody makes like a flogger that can fit through the drive hole that you could just sit there over top of them like that.
They got glass bottom kayaks, man.
We're on it.
I live in Florida. I live in Florida. It's like 3 feet deep, and all I'll see is milfoil or hydrilla.
Yeah. Yeah. Or gators.
Yeah.
See a gator under you, scare you. Well, all right, guys. That'll do it for our show this week. Next week, we'll be talking about the Harris chain next week, and hopefully have the winners on from that. So
maybe
sounds like
back.
Josh, you might be coming right back if you
have
a good show out there.
That'd be excellent.
Hey, good luck down there, Josh. Hope you catch.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Maybe I'll see you at Gunnersville. We'll see.
That would be good. Yeah. I think if you hadn't been there, I think that lake would definitely set up for.
I've been there.
If you're from Tennessee,
I think Florida fishermen can do well on Gunnersville. It's kind of a lot of similar stuff.
Me and Gunnersville I can do pretty good up there in the fall, but I've always had a hard time in the spring for whatever reason. I don't know why. I just can't ever get on them.
So. I've same.
Yeah.
Just depends. It's a gamble.
Yep.
Well, all right, guys. Thanks for coming on. We'll see you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Yep. All right, everybody. That'll do it for tonight. Jimmy's not here to close it out, so it's just me. But, good talking with Josh and Tom. Got some good information there, some good stuff. And we got some good stuff coming up. We're going to keep going with our Florida coverage, like we were saying. You kind of have to this time of year. Everybody's fishing Florida in February. But next we got the Harris chain. Then after that we got Gunnersville, and I'm missing one in between there. I think it's South Carolina Lake, Murray maybe, or anyways, we'll figure it out when it comes. But all right. Thanks for listening. Tune in next time. Let me get my banner here.